It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the long wait's finally over. Golf's first major of the year is this weekend out in San Francisco. They're going to tee off, and there's no better way to join the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to celebrate golf's first major of the year, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering special odds and promotions all weekend long, and all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including player props, day-by-day action, and even hole-by-hole live betting. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook going all out with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Just enter code KSN when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. No problems here, Dustin. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are talking Penn State football on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And in quarter number two, a lot of the big news coming out, and yes, it is pandemic related, is each conference, Dustin, is announcing their schedules for the season. And first of all, let me just ask you this. It appears that the common thread is we are turning to conference-only play. Do you think that's the right way to go for these teams?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was right for the Big Ten a few weeks ago to do that and try to internalize their protocols and control everything they possibly can control. It seems like a little thing, but you know, if you're dealing only with conference members and you have a natural streamline to mandates and decision making and certain reactions and safety protocols and what happens when a player tests positive, and you can have some degree of uniformity with that stuff, it can only help you. Now, that's just a fraction, I think, of what these teams and programs and conferences are dealing with. Like in Major League Baseball, for example, you can have all the protocols in the world, which I'm not saying Major League Baseball is doing a good job by any stretch, but you can have all the protocols in the world, but if you can't keep players out of a casino or out of a nightclub or whatever, you're going to have setbacks along the way. And I know in those leagues, the bad actions of a couple can put the whole entire league into doubt. So my question is, what chance does college football have of taking on, let's say, the NBA's bubble approach and applying that to their players across an entire nation on college campuses? Now, I know with schools going to online learning and that kind of thing, you might be able to have it. So football players are basically the only players on campus, and maybe there's a bubble-like feel to that. But I'm still skeptical that, A, you can accomplish that, and B, you can keep 19 and 20-year-olds away from parties and that kind of stuff. It's going to take a lot of discipline, a lot of control, not from the conference level, which, again, the conference scheduling helps, but from a program standpoint and that what's on the head coach to try to limit impulsive decision-making over the most impulsive age demographic in the country. You know, like that's the challenge ahead. It's less about, to me, about conference scheduling and more about limiting positive tests and then what you can do after positive tests happen. It's going to be a massive undertaking, Jim, no matter what they do with the schedules.
Well, there's no doubt the most important thing is at the team level and controlling the players being disciplined about things. But I think as far as the conferences go, what they can control, as you said, by doing it this way, they have more controls. A good example of this is I don't think the Pac-12 has put out the full schedule this on this date. This is who plays who. But they've talked about one thing which I think is really interesting and important. They have the control where early in the season, like the first week, they're still fearful that there may be different rules, say, in California or in Arizona. So they plan on playing Arizona versus Arizona State, USC, UCLA, in case there are statewide restrictions that by having both teams from the same state playing, they can make the adjustment later. And that's another part of these schedules that they're putting out is having several, you know, I'm calling them bye weeks, but open weeks, where if they do have some issues, say early on, they have the opportunity to make the games up later in the schedule. So I think that's really helpful. Now, ACC, the Southeast Conference, the Pac-12 have each came out. The Big Ten, and again, this is another one of those items, Dustin, where any day now the Big Ten may make some announcement on scheduling, and it may be out by the time you folks hear this. But some of the things that have been leaked are the thought someone reported a September 5th start date, a total of 10 games, and perhaps 3 to 5 open dates. How does that sound to you for the Big Ten?
I think, you know, with the NCAA's plan to allow week zero games in the last weekend of August, and with, you know, building in open dates throughout the schedule, that is a, I think, an imperative mechanism to, okay, let's say you have 6 players slash coaches test positive. You know, you're talking about a 2-week quarantine type situation that allows teams opportunities along the way to really combat the positive testings. I think that that is a really important step because positive tests are going to happen. And that's always been my biggest question, Jim, is what do you do then? Okay, those players get isolated. They're out of commission for a couple weeks, I presume. Is there ever going to be so many positive tests on one team? Like Rutgers, for example, is struggling, has been struggling bad with positive tests because of some bad behavior. Is Rutgers completely out of commission for a week or two? You know, like there's all kinds of stuff to still work out. But I do think adding some opportunities to pump the brakes along the way is a good thing. And one of the things that I think is interesting. So the Big Ten seemed to surprise everyone by making the announcement when they did. It seemed to catch the other Power Five conferences off guard. So the ACC comes out with its schedule, allows for a potential plus one non-conference game, presumably to preserve some of these rivalries in-state with SEC programs. So then the SEC comes out and says conference only, and that seems to have surprised the ACC. I think ESPN reported that. So it's like you have 5 different heads all operating on their own with no cohesion in what they're doing. And you have several examples of this. And you also have the NCAA. I know we read that statement a couple weeks ago on the air saying, we are all for you guys making your own decisions. And it's just, you know, no uniting force is there to make sure these 5 powerful entities are working in some kind of cooperation, because they're not.
You know, Dustin, you were reading my notes because that's exactly where I was headed, this ACC-SEC thing. And wasn't there a report earlier a couple months ago how the commissioners of all the conferences are on these calls all the time with each other and getting updates from each other? And you're right, literally a day or two after the ACC makes their announcement with the obvious intent to keep those intrastate rivalry games going with the Southeast Conference, and we're talking Florida, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, Kentucky, Louisville, Georgia, Georgia Tech, and the Southeast Conference just kind of says, oh, okay, that's nice. We're not going to play those games.
Yeah,
it is fascinating to me that that would have been one phone call to take care of that, and they didn't do that. I want to ask you a couple questions that are the repercussions of this, Dustin. First of all, if we have only conference games going on, what is going to happen to the playoffs? Now, the obvious thing that everyone brings up is, gee, how could you compare if you're not going to have any games between a team from this conference and that conference? But what I think is also going to happen is, we used to have the Southeast Conference kind of taking care of their own. They'd only play 8 conference games. It seems like you'd never have Alabama playing Georgia cross division. Now, all of a sudden, these teams are going to be forced to play each other. Is there going to be anyone from these conferences that's going to be undefeated or even one loss? I'm looking at these schedules and thinking they're going to have multiple losses, everybody.
I mean, it's a possibility. And in that respect, like, I think...
And by the way, let me interrupt you one more time. I'm sorry. But having them play, is it going to be a whole lot more better games, though, during the regular season if they do get to play this? I think it's going to be a fun season if they could get it in. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. But I think you're right. On a per capita basis, on a game by game, the average game across the country should be more competitive this year than in previous years because you eliminate all those money-making economic stimulus games. Let's put it that way. All the non-conference games that are designed for these poor teams to go into Alabama or Michigan or Penn State and get waxed and get a million-dollar paycheck, those are gone. You replace them to some degree, you know, varying degrees with conference games instead. And you do get probably more competitive games in total. As far as playoff criteria, I can't imagine much will change about that. I think you can still get a full body of work. You can't get a lot of those comparison type games that you're looking forward to, especially early in the year, games that were really intriguing in the non-conference schedule that can't happen now. But I still think you can evaluate teams' resumes based on what they do in their own leagues and come out with it. And by the way, I wanted, before we got too far, we haven't even discussed Notre Dame in the ACC schedule yet and the possibilities for that. They say it's a short-term, one-year thing, and it makes all the sense in the world because who the heck was Notre Dame going to play? So they're part of the ACC schedule. But is there a possibility that they all go through the year and Notre Dame ends up like, hey, we just won an ACC championship. Like, we can see the benefits here. Let's consider this thing.
No. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Notre Dame has just so much pride in their independent. Plus, I don't think there's any way in the world they beat Clemson.
Probably not. But I'm just saying. Like, I think when you have a situation like this, and we'll talk some more about some lasting repercussions, when you have such an earth-shattering development like a pandemic and what everybody's having to do, I think you're going to see some fundamental changes come out of this. Maybe not so much on the Notre Dame or the scheduling front, or maybe they could, but on the player side, which we'll discuss after this, I think every time you have an event like this, you see some change that ends up being longer term than you might think.
Here's the change I want to see. Mandatory 10 conference games. You get to play one cupcake and you get to play one other game intersectional against another Power 5 team. That's what I want to see, Dustin. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around for quarter number three.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. The final 22 teams are ready to get back out on the court. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app to get in on the action and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get a special odds boost to bet $20 to win $100 on a team of your choosing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.